Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Brad Polk and Bob Leonard in the studio today, talking to you about any legal topic. Anything you'd like to talk about, if you have something going on, some kind of legal case, some kind of legal matter, some kind of legal issue, give us a call. We'll talk to you. If we can't get it resolved, we'll get it back to our office and get the right people to be able to talk to you about it. We'll give you a call. Anything we can do to help you with regard to how you can deal with your legal matter. We do this as a service to the community. We do it every single Saturday morning right here on this station to try to help you to understand what your legal rights are and what your legal remedies are and what you can do. In our normal lives as Bell and Pollock, the law firm of Bell and Pollock, and the attorneys in the law firm of Bell and Pollock, we're personal injury lawyers. We help people when they've been injured as a result of the negligence or carelessness of another, some even the deliberate acts of another. We've done that since 1984. We've been in the Denver metropolitan area. We also practice well outside the Denver metropolitan area through the entire state of Colorado. If you have questions, we have an office in Steamboat. We've done cases near and far, Durango and Steamboat, throughout the state of Colorado. We have no problem doing what is necessary to help you with regard to injuries that you have experienced as a result of the negligence of another. But on Saturday mornings, we drop everything, come in here, and we spend an hour from 7 to 8 answering questions. We ask that the questions not be really political in nature, that they be legal in nature. Sometimes we'll talk about laws that have been passed, and we may be doing that here today for a little bit. But it's not a matter of whether or not we're talking, whether it's a political law or whether it's political correctness. We talk about what the law is and how it affects you, the citizen of Colorado, and what you need to do to be able to deal with the law. So give us a call, 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. If you have any questions, if you want to talk to us, if you have anything you want to discuss, if you have anything going on in your life, we don't care if it deals with probate, if it deals with wills, if it deals with family law, what it might deal with, if it deals with a breakup of the family or matters that are going on, different issues you have to deal with, give us a call, 303-713-8255. Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing great there, Brad. It's beautiful outside. It's going to be hot today.
Yep, it's going to be a hot day today. There's no doubt. I guess the good weather comes in tomorrow, or the cooler weather, depending on whether you consider that to be good or bad. The cooler weather comes in tomorrow. So Bob, you know, we start out with some new legislation that has hit the books. The Colorado lawmakers have been very active. There's been dozens of new laws that have been passed. We've seen a lot going on in the legislature. We've seen a lot going on with the laws that need to be passed, and we can talk about a number of them. We have one that I guess we would say is near and dear to the trial lawyers or to personal injuries heart, and that's the disclosure of insurance policies.
You know, Brad, in the past what would happen, we call up the insurance company. Someone comes in, they're injured. We call up the insurance company, the person at fault, driver's insurance company, say, how much insurance do you have? They say, I can't tell you. I said, what do you mean you can't tell me? No, I can't tell you. I have to get permission from my insured. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, you it start with that. Let's all start with that concept right there. We start out with a statement that you talk to the insurance company, and the insurance company said there's been a crash, and you've got an injured party. Somebody else has been negligent. They drove their car wrong. We're not talking about deliberate. Maybe it's deliberate, maybe it's not, but they drove their car wrong, and they ran into somebody, and they hurt him. You see this on commercials every day now, thanks to a number of lawyers who advertise every day. Now a little side note on that. You have to understand that when you see them talking about what kind of money has been recovered, you have to stop and think how many people have that kind of money to pay out of their pocket. And they don't. I mean, any of you listening, think, okay, how many people have $250,000 or $1.2 million or $700,000 or this amount or that amount to be able to pay out of their pocket? And the answer is people don't really have that kind of money. It's not out there where they have that many people who can do that. So where is the money coming from to pay for the injuries to the person who got injured?
Well, it comes from the at-fault driver's insurance company.
That's right.
The person hurts you.
The first place you're going to look for is the at-fault driver's insurance policy. That's what you're going to look for. Now we've talked before on the show, and we may get to it today. I'll put a little note down saying that if we get a chance later on today, we can talk about underinsured motorists and uninsured motorists and making sure you have that. But the first thing is we talk about is the at-fault party's insurance company and how much insurance does that at-fault party have, and what are the exclusions? What are any of the requirements the at-fault party insurance company might have for making a claim? What do you need to do to put people on proper notice? What do you need to do to address the case and understand what's available and what's not available? Well, quite often, the thing is you want the other side's insurance policy.
Then it's almost a necessity to have the other side's insurance policy because you need to figure out maybe exclusions, excluded drivers. You need to figure out how much insurance there is. We know some companies, I don't know if we mentioned them on the air, but there are some insurance companies that only offer small policies, which the minimum in Colorado is $25.50.
Right. We know. We know they live off the basic small policies. Fred Loy is one of them. It's not a secret. There's a number of companies that live off of saying, okay, we sell to people who just want the minimums. Nothing wrong with having the minimum if that's the best you can afford. You know, I've talked many times about the fact if you can get more, get it. But the bottom line is, I have John Smith come into my office, and John says, I've been hurt in a crash. My medical bills are $30,000 or $40,000. I've missed work for the last 2 months. And I'm going to need another $100,000 of medical bills in the future, and I'm going to be only part-time for the rest of my life, and I'm 40 years old. And that's because of what's happened. And so what can we do about it? And the first thing I look at John Smith and say, well, let's talk about the negligent party. Let's talk about the crash. We talk about the crash. We say what happened. And when we start asking what happened, then we start talking about, okay, the person who hit you. What kind of insurance do they have? How much do they have? Are they insured at all? Well, they gave an insurance card to the driver or to the police, and they said they were insured. All right, well, let's find out if they were actually insured or if that card was outdated or if there was some other reason the card's not valid. And let's find out what kind of insurance coverage they have.
So the first place I would go, Brad, would be call the insurance company up.
Right.
And talk to the adjuster, tell them the situation, tell them they have a great big, maybe talk about how much exposure they have, and say, we need to know how much insurance they have so we know how to take the case forward. If they only have $25,000 and there's a $100,000 loss, it's a different case than someone who has $50,000, $60,000 in losses and an umbrella policy out there for $1 million.
Right. One of the things is, do we need to tell our own insured, get your policies in here and let's put your own UIM on notice that your injuries exceed the amount of the at-fault driver's claims or coverage. So we ask the insurance adjuster. And the normal response we've gotten for years is the insurance adjuster says, well, I can't tell you that. I've got to get permission from my insured. Well, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about getting permission from the insured and what's really going on. You're listening to the Bell and Paul Legal Show, 303-713-8255. You have questions about this or any other topic. I don't care if it's family law. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's property law. I don't care what it is. Give us a call if you have a question, 303-713-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Paul Legal Show. Brad Paul and Bob Leonard in the studio today talking to you about any legal topic. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. Feel free to ask any questions you'd like, anything you want to talk about. What we were talking about before the break and what we were discussing was the fact that we have these what happened when you were in a crash and you're hurt and you're trying to figure out how much coverage the other side has to pay for your injuries, damages, and losses. Why is that important? Well, one of the important parts is that it creates a situation for you and your lawyer as to how you're going to put the insurance companies on notice. Do I have to get you, the injured party, to bring in your insurance policy? And do I have to take a look at it and contact your insurance company and put them on notice that we may be having a claim against them for the uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage? Do I have to have that information? Now, the adjuster from the at-fault party, they do it just a regular. They've been trained. They know what they're doing. When you ask for that information, they say, well, we have to talk to our insured. Now, I want you to remember, if you protect it, you pretend that you're in the insured. You pretend that you're the one who has caused the crash, and there's some potential liability that you're going to be responsible for the injuries you've caused somebody else. So now, as you're doing that, I want you to think about the fact that you're saying, okay, I could be responsible, and I could be sued, and things could occur. Now, we have a law in this state that if we file a lawsuit, we then can send out, or actually within disclosures, after we file the lawsuit and after the answer is filed within disclosures, the other side, the insurance company, has to tell us how much their coverage is. So we're going to get that coverage at that point, but we have to file the lawsuit first. That's what it's always been. Or the insurance company can voluntarily tell us. So here you are, you've caused a crash, you've caused some injuries, and your insurance adjuster calls you up and says, hey, the other side wants to know how much your coverage is. I want you to think in your mind, why? Why would you ever say don't tell them?
Well, you're never gonna, you want your case settled within the limits of the insurance, or
right.
Less. I mean,
right?
Why wouldn't you want them to tell the insured? I know the insurance companies, what they believe, or I believe they believe, is they think that, you know, if there's, they tell us how much insurance they're gonna, that they have, that we're gonna try to find every little straw and get to that number, that magic number, instead of litigating the case to the real value of the case.
So what the insurance company is saying is, hey, insured, we don't want to tell them that because we don't want it to cost us maybe cost us more money when the injured party finds out the truth about what's going on. That's what they're saying.
It certainly doesn't protect you, the insured.
And they're saying to you, the insured is okay. So you tell us, we don't have to tell them, or we shouldn't tell them, so we can hide that and save our company money, and not pay all the injuries, damages, and losses that the other person has incurred. And by the way, that's going to probably lead you to being sued. That's going to probably mean somebody's going to come knock at your door and hand you someone's complaint. That's going to probably mean you're going to have to bill with your adjuster and with the insurance company lawyers, and you're going to have to take time off, and you're going to have to take time out of your life to deal with it. That's going to probably mean that now you're going to have to show up in court, and you're going to have to talk to the lawyers, because the case gets transferred to the litigation mode rather than just trying to resolve the case for proper coverage. Well, our Colorado legislature has taken a look at that, and they've passed a law now that will take effect on January 1st, 2020, that's going to talk about and is going to require that the insurance companies, when asked in writing what the coverage is and what the policy is, the insurance companies have to tell you.
Not only do they have to tell you what the policies are, but if you request it, they have to send you a copy of the policy.
They have to send you a copy of the policy. Why is that good? Well, hopefully it's going to cut down on the number of lawsuits. Hopefully it's going to allow people to be able to proceed with an understanding of what the law is and understanding of what all the facts are, understanding what the coverage is. Now, mind you, in a personal injury case, when you get into court, you're not allowed to talk about insurance anyway. So nobody ever knows whether or not the defendant has insurance. Nobody ever discusses it. It's not allowed. When the insurance, uh, when the when the jurors ask if there's coverage, there's never, or if there's insurance involved, you're never allowed to talk about it. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show, 303-713-8255. Give us a call on any legal topic, anything you'd like to discuss. We're happy to answer the question. You got Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today. Gary Bell's out of town. We're happy to discuss anything you'd like to know about.
Hey, so, Brad, one other thing we need to talk about is with the your own insurance. You have uninsured motorist coverage. We have the duty, or under the contract, to tell them, you know, if they have liability. If they don't tell us how much insurance they have, that they're at fault party, how do we then live up to our requirements with our own insurance company?
And that's the problem. With the insurance companies refusing to tell you this basic information, something that everybody should know so they can get going and know what's going on, with the insurance companies refusing to give you that, it almost forces a lawsuit. It almost forces that you have to do something to get full information on information that should be readily given. The insurance companies will try and find a way to convince you that that coverage is not there, or that you, the person causing the accident, have said you don't want to give that information. That's not the way it works. I've doubted many times that we have any truthfulness as far as saying that the insured has said not to give the information. I've wondered why the insured is not giving the information, and I want to tell you, I have had cases where they have said no, our insured told us not to give you that information. I've gone ahead and filed the lawsuit. I've made the person come in, the at-fault party come in and give their deposition. The at-fault party's been very truthful. They've looked and said, yeah, I caused the crash. I'm sorry. And, well, you know, I wanted to just get taken care of. And this is what happened, and this is why it happened. And then I'll ask them, did you talk to your adjuster about this? Oh, no. They called and asked me what happened, and they took a recorded statement. But, well, did you talk to them about this case? Well, when I got served, I told them I had the paperwork. They told me to make sure I got it over to them. Well, did they tell you we were asking for the policy limits? No, I didn't know that. Did they tell you we were asking for the information about your coverage? No, they didn't tell me that. At that point, the adjuster's long gone, folks. The adjuster who is dealing with that part of it is no longer on the case. You look at defense counsel and you say to the defense counsel, hey, the reason we're here is because your adjuster said that this person right here, this at-fault party, wouldn't give us information, told you not to give us any information. The at-fault party saying they didn't even talk to the adjuster. And you're going, what's going on here? You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255 on any legal topic. So now we're going to have a way to change that. We're going to have a way, thanks to our legislature, to be able to send out and say what's, and you have to do it in writing. You have to make a written demand, a written request for the insurance policy and for the policy information. And now you're going to be able to get it, and it's going to allow the injured parties to be able to deal with the insurance companies with the knowledge they need to have to be able to address the case.
Well, you know, it kind of levels the playing field between us and the insurance companies. At least the legislature put some teeth in this bill. I don't know if it's a whole lot, but they have 30 days after the request to provide this information, and they have a penalty clause in the creates a penalty of $100 per day for each day beyond 30-day mark.
Okay, so let's go to the next topic. As I said, we're going to just go down through the legislative topics unless we get calls, and then we'll take care of the calls. 303-713-8255. How about vaping, e-cigarettes, use of vaping and e-cigarettes indoors? A question that's been preying on everybody's minds for quite some time. Can you do it? Can you not do it? Buildings will say there's no vaping allowed. There's no e-cigarettes allowed. There are other buildings where that isn't necessarily there. What is now allowed, or what will be allowed and not allowed in public buildings or businesses? A question that has been going around all the time is whether or not vaping was even harmful. And I think we've got the science now that talks about the fact that vaping can be harmful. Secondhand, quote, smoke or secondhand vaping can also be harmful to those people who are exposed to it, even if they're not doing the vaping themselves. And we have House Bill 19-1076, which amends the Colorado Clean Indoor Air Act. by adding electronic smoking devices to the list of banned activities within public buildings. It eliminates existing exceptions in the law that allowed smoking, including ESDs, and when I say that, you know what I'm talking about, electronic smoking devices. It eliminates those in designated smoking areas and changing the minimum radius for smoking outside a public building from 15 to 25 feet from the entryway of the building. Obviously, this is something that the public wanted. This is something that needs to be looked at, and it's something we need to deal with. But there are laws now that are that apply. Please make sure you understand that you have those laws applying, and it's something you've got to deal with. You've been listening to the Bell and Paul Legal Show, 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. If you have any questions, give us a call. We're here to listen to your calls and answer your questions. Welcome back to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Brad Pollack, Bob Leonard in the studio today, talking to you about any legal question. Calls at 303-713-8255. We're going to talk a little bit to Eric down at Caitlin's and see what's going on down there. Eric, how are things going?
You know, we got all kinds of things going on down here. Thank you. And we'll start with the breakfast special. Now, we're going to run this for one more week. We ran it last week. This is the breakfast tacos that I talked about. They are carne asada tacos. We're serving those on white corn tortillas with scrambled eggs. Shredded cheese, that's actually a fresco cheese, and a salsa verde on there with that carne asada. Of course, you can get the hash browns on the side, and of course, you can get a side of red or green chili if you want that as well. That is the breakfast special for the rest of the week. And then we're also doing tacos for lunch. We're doing 3 crispy chicken tacos. That's also on white corn tortillas, and that's going to be the breaded chicken tenderloins that we're going to use for those. We're going to do lettuce, tomato on there, the fresco cheese again, a little bit of cilantro. And we also have like a sour cream avocado sauce that we're making with that we spread over the top. That's really good, but again, if you don't want that, you can get a side of red or green chili. We make those right in-house, right here on the premises. You can get that on the side as well. That will be the lunch special for one more week, so make sure you come down and check that out. And make sure you come down every week, Monday through Friday, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and get our early bird special. That's a 2-egg special that comes with those hash browns. You get a choice of ham, bacon, or sausage with that. You get your choice of toast, tortilla, or pancakes with that. And those pancakes are buttermilk made. They are scratch made. They are out of this world, but any of those options come along with that early bird special. So come on down. We got the umbrellas out. The weather, I think, is supposed to be really beautiful before it gets hot. Come on down. Get a mimosa. Get an early breakfast. Get an early start to your day, and come check us out.
You got umbrellas on that deck, right?
We have umbrellas on the deck. We actually have dog dishes with water for the dogs. If we have a lot of walkers that come back with the dogs, you can bring those on. We're dog-friendly on the deck right now. So come on down and check that out, absolutely. And we got the flat-screen TVs are on. The Wimbledon is on right now. A lot of action going on. A lot of good food to check out at Caitlin's Restaurant, guys.
Sounds great. Eric, how do I get there?
You guys can get here at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard, and that's in the Glendale Shopping Center. We have been under renovation, and it's almost done. It looks amazing. The parking lot is getting cleared out. The guys are doing a great job, so come on down and check us out, guys. I guarantee you'll love it every bite of the way.
I'll see you later today, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Thank you. Okay, let's go right to the phones right now. We do have Dan on line one. Dan, he wanted to talk about the insurance question?
Yes. I just purchased an electric assist bike, an e-bike, and I wanted to check with my insurance company, but I'm a little reluctant to see if the bike would be automatically covered by my auto and or homeowner's insurance. I'm kind of reluctant to ask them because I'm thinking they're going to immediately say, yeah, you're going to need a separate rider to insure it. And is that necessary?
All right, Dan. A lot of this is exactly what you just talked about. It's going to be insurance policy specific. And we're happy. And before we get off here, we'll make sure you know what our email address is and our fax so we can take a look at your policy and tell you whether or not your policy will cover the e-bike.
Hey, Brad, I had a guy actually call in last week, and he had a $10,000 e-bike. Very pretty expensive, stolen. And he said, I called my insurance company. I called the auto. You know, they said the homeowner said no, it's an auto. The auto parts said it was a homeowner's. Even between the insurance companies, they really don't know how to adjust it.
That's exactly right. And what the result is, that both companies say, we're not going to pay you your $10,000 for your stolen bike. And you're in trouble at that point because you don't get anything. Normally, I would tell you that the insurance companies are going to want, and you know, there's a lot of questions about the e-bike because you're talking about what's the coverage while you're riding it, while you're using it. And right. do you have coverage if you hurt somebody else or cause a crash or cause injury to somebody? Are you protected? Because the whole purpose of having insurance for yourself is to make sure that you're not going to be bankrupted if you make a mistake and somebody gets hurt and all of a sudden you're being sued.
Right.
So that's the first question. The second question is, if you get hurt on the bike, is your uninsured motorist coverage or underinsured motorist coverage going to protect you? Is there anything there that helps you and that takes care of you if somebody runs you off the road and takes off? I mean, you know, you're riding down and all of a sudden they run you off the road or they hit you and it's a hit and run or somebody hits you without insurance. How do you have protection? Do you have protection on the e-bike? So that's the second part we've got to worry about. And then the third part is exactly what Bob was talking about of what if somebody steals the bike or damages or destroys it? How do you get coverage? So there's a lot going on. Now, the insurance you buy or you've purchased, Dan, do you purchase that through an agent or do you do it over the phone or the internet or how do you get your insurance?
Through an agent, an Allstate agent.
And with respect to your Allstate agent, do you have a good relationship with the agent?
I don't know. I've only met him once or twice.
Okay, so it's just a straight business relationship. It's not somebody you've known for years or that you've...
Yes, that's correct.
You've used for years. So, you know, the question that comes up, and I'm going to tell you my initial understanding of it is that the e-bikes are not covered, and they're not within the policy. So, you know, I'm happy to look at your policy. I can give you we'll give you our fax number. We'll give you our email address. You can send it to us. We'll want the deck page too. We're happy to look at it and review it and tell you whether or not it's within the policy. But I want to tell you, most of the time, if you've just got a regular car insurance policy and you've got a regular straightforward policy that's not motorcycle endorsed and not otherwise endorsed for any kind of a two-wheel motorized vehicle, you probably do not have coverage.
So I would need a separate rider?
Yes.
On my insurance?
Yes.
I see.
You'd need a separate rider where they would include it. And what you want to make sure is what Bob just brought up, which was very important, is that when you talk to him, you say, I want a rider on my policy where I have the bike covered and for not only operations and injuries during operational, but also for if it gets stolen or gets damaged or somebody damages it. Because I believe that probably your homeowner's policy, and we can take a look at that for you also, is going to say that it does not cover motorized vehicles.
But, you know, it's all about the definitions, Brad.
Right. It's all in the definitions. So that's why we'd have to take a look at it. So if you don't mind, we'll put you on hold, have Kevin take your number, and we'll get a way for you to send all that to us, and we can take a look at it.
Sure, that'd be great.
In the meantime, if you're saying, well, Brad, I'm going to use it today or tomorrow, and I'm not going to be talking to you until Monday or Tuesday, give your agent a call right away. I mean, give your agent a call and say, hey, is my e-bike covered, and what's the deal with it? And if the e-bike is not covered, get a quote. Decide if you want to, and I would tell you, do not drive uninsured, so put it in the garage for the weekend and wait until we all get answers for it so everybody's safe. Or go ahead and purchase the other policy. But right now, if I were a betting man, I'd bet against your coverage.
Also, Brad,
I thought it would be the opposite. I thought my insurance, the auto insurance, if I was out on the streets, my auto insurance would cover me. Or if I were at home and got destroyed by fire or theft, that my homeowner's insurance would cover it automatically. But apparently not. Huh? It's policy specific, you say.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Most of the time it can be, except for a lot of the policies will have somewhere in there, they'll exclude two-wheel motorized vehicles. And
even electric assist, it's not really,
it's so new in the marketplace. I don't think the insurance companies have caught up. But Brad, you know, if you're riding a bicycle and someone runs you over,
you're covered.
You're covered as a pedestrian on a bicycle.
Right.
Oh.
But if you're riding your e-bike and you get run over,
there's a question mark, and they'll, and I think a lot of times they'll say they're going to exclude the coverage. So that's why and you know, now we get into, Dan, and you've got some excellent questions here, because we start talking about e-bikes. We talk about those bikes that you can put a little device on them to help you pedal faster or to help you maintain your speed or whatever. And where do we get to the point where it's a motorized vehicle versus not one? And sometimes it's going to be whether or not it needs to be licensed, at which point it would be in your favor, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, if you have if you have a Vespa under certain horsepower size engine, you don't have to have a driver's license. I'm not sure it's considered a vehicle for the road.
Well, what little reading I've done on these e-bikes is apparently you can get, like mine, which is a pedal assist. The motor doesn't kick in until you pedal. So that's not considered an actual electric bike. Electric bike would be the higher end ones where you just have a throttle control. You don't even need to pedal. You just, you know, twist the throttle and it goes like a motorcycle. And that one there would be need licensing.
Right. And so if you're talking pedal assist and not an e-bike where it just turns on and is a motorized vehicle of some type, then you've got a better chance that you're going to be considered to just be on a bicycle. And under a bicycle, you are covered. All right? So,
So
that's where
I need to get that clarified with my insurance company.
Well, you'd be covered for the injury, but your homeowner's probably covered for the bike.
Yeah, the homeowners would cover the bike because it's not considered a motorized vehicle, and the pedal assist would, you'd still be covered under your own policy, under your own UIM policies, your own policies if you hurt somebody. So in that case, if you're just saying, hey, it's just a pedal assist that kicks in when I can't pedal, that's different. Now I'd be saying, okay, I'd be on your side saying you probably do have coverage.
And that's what I have, is the pedal assist.
Right. And so that being a qualifier there, then I say it's probably on your side and you probably do have coverage.
So do I need to check with my insurance company because it's kind of like a gray area?
I would call the agent and say, hey, if I get a pedal assist bike and I'm using a pedal assist bike, am I covered?
Great.
And if the agent says yes, send them a letter saying this confirms you told me I'm covered.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, you send a letter immediately so you have it in writing. And and it's the same thing. At the same time, Dan, you know what else you do?
What?
We're going to put you on hold. You're going to send me a copy of that policy so I can look at it.
Okay.
Because
we're
going to look at the policy and you call your agent. We're going to make sure you're covered on both sides.
Sounds great.
Fair enough.
Very good. Well, Brad, Bob, thanks for your help, and I'll hold.
Thanks for calling us. We'll put you on hold. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We're going to take a short break. You can call us at 303-713-8255. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dean, who's given us a call in Centennial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Brad Polk, Bob Leonard in the studio today. Here's what you want to do. We're going to be off the air here in about another 11, 12 minutes. Here's what you want to do for sure. You want to stick around and listen to Larry and Barry's show, their real estate show. They are fantastic individuals. They're great guys, and they have very, very important information for you to have and for you to know about your real estate needs, about if you're thinking of buying, selling, if you know anybody else who's involved in it. You want to go to their seminars. You hear a lot of stuff about different seminars. Listen to them. They'll be talking about it in the next hour. Listen to them. Find out where those seminars are. Get yourself down to it so you have the basic information and knowledge that they can give you with regard to those seminars. They don't try and sell you anything. They don't try and push anything. It's free. It's a fantastic deal. And you just go there, and there's no pushing for you to do something else. So give it a chance. Go down and listen to Larry and Barry's show right after us. We've got Dean. Dean, how you doing, buddy?
It's Gene.
Gene, I'm sorry. How are you doing?
Hi, good.
Good. What you got?
I wondered if I needed representation. I was out of town last Monday, and I totaled my car. But no one else was involved. I was driving on a two-lane highway. And as I came around the bend, and at the bottom of the hill, there was about a foot and a half to 2 feet of water across the road. And I didn't even try to brake. I said, I might as well try to ride through it. Well, as the car hit the water, it just spun the car and then flipped it, and the car was totaled. And I wasn't hurt severely or anything. I went to the doctor Wednesday. He said I just had deep bruising in my back, above my kidneys and my ribs. I just wondered if I need representation because the insurance company has been sending me emails wanting to sign all kind of papers electronically. I don't know if I should sign all this stuff. And now the adjuster called me, one adjuster called me, and he had recorded me explaining to him how the accident happened. And I've had another adjuster calling me, messages, medical adjuster. I haven't talked to them yet. I just wondered how I should proceed. Do I need representation or is this just a case?
Where did this happen?
In Nebraska.
In Nebraska?
Yeah, I went for the 4th of July.
Okay.
I was coming back home. Just driving home 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday.
Do you know why this 1.5, 2 feet of water was on the road?
Yeah, because it's been raining like crazy over there. They said, I told them I was going to get the other highway. They said, that's even worse. So you should be glad you came on this highway. That one's really bad.
No proper drainage on the road, though.
Right. Well, you just had too much rain.
Okay, Gene, you're calling from Centennial. Do you live in the Centennial area?
Yes.
All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to not talk to anybody else about this, okay? Uh-huh. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get your number. We're going to have you come into our office on Monday or Tuesday, talk to one of our lawyers, or we can do it over the phone. If you can't make it in, we'll do it over the phone with all the details and all the specifics. We're going to find out the area. We're going to find out what happened. And I don't want you to talk to any more adjusters or anybody else until we talk to you, okay?
Okay.
If you've got medical concerns or having medical pain, you get them taken care of.
Okay.
But now we call a halt to everything until you've got a chance to talk to us. It's free. You're not going to pay anything. Let's get you in or get you on the phone and have a complete detailed explanation, identification of what happened and have it all explained.
Brad, does he have med pay?
Do you have med pay on your policy, Gene?
I don't know. I think I got everything.
We're going to talk to you on Monday. We're going to get you all straightened out. All right, buddy. Yes, you do need to talk to somebody, and we're here to talk to you, and we're going to do it free. So let's get you taken care of. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin all your information. Thank you for calling the Bell and Polk Legal Show. Let's stay right with the phones and talk to Mike. Mike, you have a question concerning uninsured and underinsured?
Yes, I do. Is there a difference? I'm driving one of these Asian cars. It's pretty much a recycled beer can. And with all these SUVs on the road, I know if I get creamed, I'm going to get creamed good. So I do have the max on uninsured motorists. Is that the same thing as underinsured?
Yes, it should be. On your policy, it'll say UIM or UM.
Uh-huh.
And what it says on there, that will be coverage that covers both. If there's no insurance, or if the person who hurts you has no insurance or doesn't have enough insurance.
Okay.
Two
separate things. It's the same thing. So I don't have to get another.
No, you don't. Now you want to make sure that all the policies in your house are all the vehicles in your house are covered. And it sounds like you know that and they are covered.
Right.
My question to you is, you said in your policy, do you also have an umbrella policy?
No, I do not. It's just strictly for one vehicle.
Okay.
I do because I do have insurance on my home. Yeah, so it is. I guess it would be an umbrella.
Yeah. Okay, listen. Umbrella policies do not cover you on an uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage unless there's a specific rider attached to the umbrella policy.
Okay.
So,
I'm not sure about the umbrella situation. It is a different policy I have, but I got a discount on that because it's from the same company, which is State Farm.
Okay.
But it does specify in my auto insurance that I have $1 million uninsured motorist.
Oh, no. If you have $1 million uninsured motorist, you're in good shape. And if it says that, that's going to cover you on uninsured and underinsured. And you just became the poster child for our show today.
Why? Thank you.
Having that much coverage is fantastic, is great.
Yeah.
I know that, and I don't like to say this bad so people get the wrong idea, but I know you're giving up a Starbucks every week or you're giving up something else every week to have that coverage, but that coverage is so much more important for you. And
I was very, very surprised on how much it did not cost to get that much coverage. It was extremely reasonable.
Well, now you just made poster child number two, because that's what we tell people all the time.
You know, actuarially, the insurance companies know how many people are going to have cases that settle between zero and 25,000. And, you know, they bracket it. They know that that end of the scale, there's not many people, so their exposure is pretty low.
But you did the exact right thing, Mike. Perfect.
Right.
Okay.
I was injured on the job, and it was really difficult to get the insurance company to pay. So I made sure I got the max on medical, because in Colorado, apparently, they can take it out of your Social Security. So the insurance company doesn't have to pay.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's absurd.
So you're stuck any way it happens. You just don't realize what's going on.
Yeah.
And you have to have that coverage. Now, Mike, the only last thing I'd say is that if you want to leave your number, or if you want to get our number, or our email, or we'll shoot it over to you, so we can take a look at your deck page to make absolutely sure. But I'm sitting here right now, I'm 99% sure you're covered. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I changed from another insurance company because every 6 months they were raising it up $100. I said, this is ridiculous. So just by chance, next to my doctor's office, there was a State Farm agent there in Longmont, and she was thorough. I mean, she was terrific, and she went through every single little bitty item there to make sure that's exactly what I needed and what I wanted. So she was foremost on what my needs were.
That's the right kind of agent. That's exactly what you want.
I was really impressed as compared to my other agent. So yeah,
fantastic. You're covered. It sounds like you're fine. If you decide you want to get it to us, you call us at our offices, Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900. We'll make sure we cover it and watch it for you, but it sounds like you're in perfect condition, buddy.
Great, guys. I really enjoy your program. I've been listening to you for years, and it's terrific.
Thank you very much. You have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye. You've been listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. We're going to be right back here next Saturday doing the same thing. If you have legal questions, put them together, save them for us, and let us answer them. Listen to Larry and Barry after this show. And in the meantime, it's nice, it's warm, it's great out there. Get yourself plenty of coverage. Make sure you're protected. If you get injured, give us a call, 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com. We'll see you next week.